Anyway, Sean Duke, the cool scientist, is here. And Sean, I got this great picture on social media there in the last week. And it showed a Volkswagen car with a huge cloud of almost atomic bomb proportions coming out of the back of it with smoke and everything. And they said, yeah, that'll pass, no problem. Volkswagen, yeah, pass that one, zero emissions.
Yeah.
What's the story about Volkswagen?
It's kind of shocking, isn't it, that Volkswagen would involve itself in this. But what they did essentially anyway, just a bit of the background, I suppose, the technology, the science behind the story, that they were really caught on the hop, and it was kind of a random thing that happened that I suppose hasn't been reported widely, I should say. And they essentially, on the 22nd of September, they announced that there was some special software was being used to lower emissions during laboratory tests of some of its diesel vehicles. So essentially what it turns out that Volkswagen was doing was that it had designed these pieces of software, and the software actually knew when the car was being tested, and then it clicked into fully efficient anti-emissions mode, if you like. So for the period of time when the car was actually being tested, then it was performing up to standard. But then as soon as the software realized that there is no test happening here, then it reverted back to a dirty mode, if you like. That's the kind of default mode that the cars were in. But they got caught out because just randomly this group in the States, it's called the International Council on Clean Technology Transport, and they're based in Washington, D.C. So they decided to test a couple of the cars in real conditions, not lab conditions, take them out on the road. And they fitted the cars with, there were Jettas, a Volkswagen Jetta was one of the cars, and they also did a Passat. And they put in a portable emissions measuring instrument. So basically, when the car is struggling going uphill, if you like, or in all kinds of road conditions, it was measuring the emissions. And what they found was incredible, because they found that the levels of nitrous oxide, which is one of the things that, you know, you're meant to be controlling in your emissions, emitted by a Volkswagen Jetta, were up to 35 times greater than the US standard. And that depended on driving conditions. So
now,
it was a hell of a lot.
The emissions that are looked for in Europe and the United States are different, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, they're essentially either carbon dioxide or nitrous oxide. But I suppose the point is that, you know, can we trust them now is the main thing. But because they were clearly messing around with the levels of nitrous oxide that were being emitted. So it's diesel, which is focused on diesel here. So diesel emissions, they're specifically carbon monoxide, which can be, you know, deadly in certain situations, and nitrous oxide. And both of these have potentially serious health effects on humans. So, I mean, this stuff has been pumped into the atmosphere. You're talking about a lot of cars. You're talking about 11 million cars worldwide that could be affected by this. So, as well as actually tricking people, if you like, into buying these cars that they thought were environmentally more friendly than they were, there's a health issue and there's a global warming issue. And this is one of the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah, and it's not going to end with them, is it?
It's not going to end with them, because the suspicion has to be this software is out there, it's available. Who else is using this software?
Well, we'll be talking to somebody else about this later on, about general usage of diesel cars and what it could mean for people. And the big thing is, who would you sell them to? If you want to sell on your car, so, oh, that's a dirty old car there, you know, I mean, it was all written there about the those emissions.
Absolutely.
Couldn't possibly buy that.
And the tax thing, I mean, there's tax breaks. If you have a car that's cleaner, essentially, it'll cost you less in tax. And what's, say, the Irish government or any other government going to do now with Volkswagen diesel? Are they going to recategorize them? Or, you know, it's all up in the air.
Right, something else that's up in the air that's rare as you look out onto the solar system, Mars. There's a movie about Mars out at the moment, but what about taking your holidays on Mars?
The Daily Mail had a fun story, but I mean, it's an interesting thing, that the point that they were making in England. They said that, of course, as we all know by now, that water has been announced as discovered this week on Mars. I think it's amazing. And not only do they have liquid water on Mars, but they seem to have vast underground reserves of the stuff. So wherever there's water, there's life. So the point about this is that one of the things they were worried about when they were going to colonize Mars, right? We're going to colonize Mars. We're going to travel there, Obama says, in 2030s. We're going to set up a colony. You need water for life, obviously. How are you going to get all the water over there if the planet is bone dry? Carrying it is a real engineering. You know, it's very heavy. Anybody knows the water is heavy. So isn't it fantastic? There's water there. So we can use this water. Now, the water is different. The water is extremely salty. So Mars is very cold compared to Earth. It's about half the distance, again, away from the sun compared to us. So it's mostly the temperatures vary between minus 20 and 0 degrees Celsius. But the water stays liquid because there's salt in it. Now, that's not a problem because they can desalinate the salt. The Israelis, for example, are the world leaders in this because they don't get access to the water because all the Arab countries won't give it to them. So they have to take it from the sea. So we know how to do it. You can also use the hydrogen and the carbon that's in water to make electricity. So you have a source of water that you can drink. You've got electricity, a power source now that you can use on the planet. And this makes things so much easier. You can also use the hydrogen and the oxygen as a rocket fuel. So you have power, you have fuel, you have water. So the point is we're all going to go to look at Mars.
Water is in the form of, as you just mentioned, liquid water because there's salt in it.
It's salty. It's not ice. If you have salt in it, it lowers the temperature, which it stays liquid.
Okay, now, in the same sort of area, Edward Snowden, we know him with all the WikiLeaks and things like that, but he got something wrong about eavesdropping on aliens.
That's right, yeah. All the SETI people, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence people, jumped on his back. But essentially, he was in an interview with this well-known science communicator in the States called Neil deGrasse Tyson. Some people would have seen him on television. And they were having a chat, and the whole thing about aliens just came up. It was a random kind of a comment that was made. And Snowden said, listen, you know, if aliens were sending signals across the universe, we wouldn't be able to hear them because they'd be so advanced. The chances are they'd be so advanced that they would have these messages encrypted. So you're wasting your time trying to look for this stuff. But then, of course, the SETI Institute, which has been looking since 1960, for radio signals from deep space, like in the film Contact, they got on immediately and they said, well, listen, that may be true. They may actually have encrypted their messages, but if they're sending a message, we still know it's a message. We still know it's a message that has to be generated from something that's not natural. So we mightn't be able to read it, but we still know it's an alien signal. So Snowden got that wrong. And, you know, the other point is that if aliens were actually trying to communicate with us and other civilizations, why would they encrypt a message? You'd want to make the message as easy as possible to read. And in fact, this relates to the WOW signal. I'll briefly mention it. They found this signal in 1977 that came in to the Earth for 90 seconds and disappeared, which was the basis of the film Contact. Very mysterious. They don't know what it is. Many scientists think it was artificial because it came in very strong at a single, very narrow band. So that looks like it's an alien signal, but because it wasn't repeated, we can't prove it. So the point is, encryption is not the point, I guess. That's really what they were saying. Snowden got it wrong.
Okay. One more, and it is to do with batteries. Batteries. When will they go to sort out the batteries on mobile phones, for example?
Oh, God. Batteries.
But anyway, batteries. What's the story?
See, the problem with batteries is that, I mean, going back to the very first one and still today, is they're based on chemistry and liquid, you know? So you essentially do things with chemicals in a liquid and you make electricity from that. But it's very hard to actually do it in a way that's miniaturized, if you like, or that can store enough energy so that you can distribute it as you need it and when you need it. So, but anyway, they've been working on this because it's a huge problem in phones, but also for houses. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we could have a huge, or maybe small, battery on our roofs that would be rechargeable? And on a day like today, beautiful day like today, it'd suck up all the solar energy. And then on a miserable day, which might be next week, that energy would be stored and could could be released into our home to heat our water, etc. And Harvard University scientists say they have done this. Of course, there's no point if you're going to do this and it's going to cost a huge amount because people won't buy it. But they've produced a cheap, rechargeable battery that can make use of solar, which we have today,
yeah,
and also wind. Now, wind in Ireland, gosh, you know, if you can store this, especially over the winter, can you imagine the reduction in fuel bills would be incredible. So let's watch this space. But I think that's a very interesting development that could affect us all, you know. We might end up using less gas. In Dublin, we're on gas. And we could maybe top up, or maybe at some point all of our energy could come from solar panels on the roof, taking the sun in, storing it, and then using it on a different day when there's no sun whatsoever.
Right. We look forward to that, Sean. Mm. Thank you for sorting out the future. We're getting our holidays in Mars, and we are getting our batteries from the roof. But the good thing is that we won't be using our cars to go there because we will be pushing out too many emissions.
And we won't be wearing Polonex.
Oh, definitely. No Polonex. One from Stan. Would I wear a Polonex? Probably. Clothes have just two basic functions: to keep you protected from the elements and to keep you warm. The rest is choice. Stan, don't come near me if you're wearing one, okay? Right. I don't be with those are old-fashioned people. With your hush puppies as well, I suppose. Right, 087 77 11 103 is our number. Thanks very much indeed to the cool scientist, Sean Duke, at Science Spinning, SeanDuke.com.